I have one item on my agenda this morning. It's in reference to a proposed contract amendment with George Miles and Buehr. You may recall that they are our construction administration and inspection consultant for the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. You may also recall that Underground Utilities is one of the contractors working on the Oak Orchard Sewer Project. They started construction in the winter of 2010. They had a contract time completion of March 15, 2011. However, March 15th came and went, and Underground Utilities was not complete with the work. And at that time, we put them on notice that they would begin incurring liquidated damages. They are incurring a penalty of $1,200 per day. And as I stand here on September 13th, they have incurred penalties of approximately $220,000. The work we are projecting to be complete at this point sometime between November 15th and November 30th. And if that indeed does come to pass, then the penalties incurred will be approximately $300,000. Now, while we do charge these penalties, in reality, we're only able to charge costs that are actually incurred by the county for the time period. So what we did is, on March 16th, we began tracking the inspection cost incurred by George Miles and Buehr to inspect the project after the term had actually expired. So to do that, we have set up a new contract amendment with George Miles and Buehr. They are projecting costs to be incurred to do the inspection between March 15th of this year and November 30th to be $200,000. And again, we would incur or receive liquidated damages from the contractor that would far exceed that dollar amount. So if there are not any questions, I have a motion that I can read to grant that contract amendment.
Any questions of Mr. Trizzo?
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council authorizes its president to execute contract amendment number 4 with George Miles Buehr LLC of Salisbury, Maryland, to provide additional contract administration and resident project representation services to accommodate the time period after the expiration of the contract term for Sussex County project number 09-10 Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District, area number 1 in pump station 326 and 327 at a cost not to exceed $200,000.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
Second.
Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank? Discussion and possible introduction of a proposed ordinance relating to casinos.
Morning again.
Morning, sir.
Morning. Afternoon.
No, it is afternoon, right?
It is afternoon.
I bet Lawrence has got this nailed down.
I bet you a
dollar.
Not this one.
We don't want to do that.
There's been substantial construction over many months to give consideration to a casino ordinance. We've had two moratoriums.
One earthquake.
May be necessary to do another moratorium while we're in this process. I believe you have before you a copy of an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County relating to zoning by adding a CGD, Commercial Gambling District, to provide for casino venues in Sussex County. Patrick Vanderslice, who's here at the podium with me, has prepared this ordinance as best he could based on a lot of input from a lot of people. And if I can, I'll just refer to Patrick for the presentation and participate later.
Mr. Vanderslice.
Thank you. Patrick Vanderslice, Assistant County Attorney. The last time we were here, there were some questions about, first of all, the biggest question is from the council people was that they just wanted them on Delaware 1, US 13, and US 113, and that is now taken care of. If you go into Section 3 and then on the next page, it's 115-83-11-F. You'll read that an application for a CGD shall be for land located on Delaware 1, US 13, and US 113. So that restricts any applications. Of course, if they put an application for Route 54, could not be heard because of this restriction. There was also, if you jump up to the top of the page, there was some discussion about these impact studies, and language was changed to be put in there that a transportation impact study, and then the new language came in by a third party not affiliated with the applicant. We want to make sure that some of the developers, et cetera, have their own study organization or study engineerings or have their own engineering companies, and we want to make sure it's not affiliated and, of course, paid for by the applicant, which would then be reviewed and require approval of DLDOT, and then also the same with the community impact study, which would be given to the county and require approval of the county.
Who would choose that, that third party? Should that be in there? It's like,
who would pay for it?
Well, the person that the applicant would have to pay for, the qualification that we put in there is that it has to be a third party not affiliated with the applicant, because there are certain developers that do have their own engineering groups, own impact studies.
So they would still hire a firm to do that?
Yeah, they would hire a firm. It'd be like them hiring their engineering firm to present it before. And again, the transportation would have to require approval of DLDOT.
Right.
And also the community impact study would require approval of you all.
Yeah, it just still concerns me that when they hire a consulting firm or whatever you want to call it, and they're being paid by them, they're working for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to produce a product that favors them. So I don't know if there's another way to, is there another way, Dave, that other jurisdictions address things like this? Is it something like the council has a list of preferred consultants or that we would look to for these kind of things, that we would pick one of those? Is that a possibility?
That's a possibility.
Like we do with engineers at the engineering department or something?
Yeah, the engineering department does have a
preferred list or something.
Process by which they can eliminate people, but it's usually because they've been, you know, malfeasant, so to speak. But you know, typically, they leave it, you know, jurisdictions leave it up to the applicant to hire somebody and to.
You understand there won't be any negative comments in something paid for by the applicant, typically. So I mean, the odds of them paying for somebody coming in and saying, this is no good, is going to be slim. So I don't know if we're getting anything.
Yeah, as Mr. Vanderslice has shown or put in here, this has to be reviewed by DLDOT. So you have to, you know, you have an independent, independent third party that's looking at it.
I'm not talking about DLDOT so much as, but that community, that next one, the community impact.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of something new with us. I don't think we do it anywhere else. When the applicant hires a consultant on traffic, it's always positive to the applicant. When they hire them, when I see them come in front of us on these big applications. So are we going to have the same situation here where we really, the community impact study, it's just a question in my mind if there's a way to address that. And maybe if we don't do anything today on this, we could.
Again, as I think I explained the last hearing, as this is a whole new ordinance, if it goes through the public hearing, this is a new title. So everything in there could be malleable and changed.
Right.
I'm sort of interested in what the school boards would feel about this, you know, for them to have some input and, you know, for it to matter.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the other thing, you know, as Mr. Vanderslice has put in here, that the applicant or the third party community person would require approval by the county. So the county could in some way vet that person, see what background they have, you know, what other studies they have done,
okay,
where else they have participated.
Question would be, who would do that approval? Mr. Lank or Planning Zoning Director would make the approval, or would it have to, is that something that has to come in front of the council for an approval of this individual? Another way, that would just, red tape, I just don't see.
It doesn't say.
I know, that's what I'm saying, that may be just burdensome. I'm trying to not add any additional burden. I would just see if we could just clear up a definition of how that third party is, that unaffiliated third party is chosen. That would be my question.
But we can do that at the public hearing process.
Yeah, you can go through. Yeah, again, as I explained, because it's a whole new, this is very malleable, and it gives us something to work from.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
And then also on the next page, and with the permitted uses, there was some comment about, I think my old language had it all tied to being attached to the casino. What I did is, if you can see in B, I phrased out pretty much the same stuff was in there, but I've added it, provided a casino is located in the CGD. Before everything was attached, I think there was a question from council about what is the definition of attachment. I didn't really want to go into the figuring out what attachment was, so I put that provided. So the casino has to be there for these other things, and I think Mr. Cole pointed out, well, what if you want to have the motel over there or something else over there that doesn't have to actually be attached, but of course there has to be the casino there. And then we went into the height, area, and bulk requirements. There was comments. We did the depth 150 feet, 150 feet, and 150 feet, and the maximum height requirement 42. There was some questions about a sunsetting provision. That's probably what I did most of my research in, really looking into a lot of code and districts. It started to become problematic. I also had some discussions with Mr. Robertson about that, you know, dealing that it could affect certain other things, such as a comprehensive land use plan if you had an automatic sunset provision in here. And also in discussions with Lawrence Lank, we thought it started to become on a slippery slope. If you actually just wanted a sunset, that's why you would have stayed with conditional use, because then the use would no longer be there. But now we're establishing a district, and we don't have any other place where district actually sunsets. But that's also something that can be brought through in public hearing about.
Okay, you're saying that it's not impossible to do it. It was a little problematic, but sunsetting could be considered?
I've never seen it. I looked in other.
Another way to address it, other than say calling it sunsetting, is there other ways they look at something that discontinues its use and there it sits as a district, and that which could be problematic if nothing happens for 10 years and
whatever. Well, usually in other districts, I looked at the council or whoever the governing body has the power to bring it back by their own accord.
So in that case, the council on its own would have to initiate an ordinance to rezone that property back from a commercial gambling district to an agriculture residential district. We've done that in the past, and it's been years since we have done that. But that was, we were doing it to get rid of some of the commercial zoning that we created along Route 113 and 1.
Mm-hmm, right.
And we did quite a few, and then we had some objections to doing that, and then this process stopped.
If we create a gambling district and the gambling is on site, and then all of a sudden, just because of economics, it disappears, but the other uses stay, the motel or restaurants or whatever thing.
Probably be difficult to sunset that district.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you've already established the uses. If you had a parcel that was rezoned for purpose of a commercial gambling district and nothing ever happened, stayed vacant, continued to be tilled or whatever, then council could take the initiative to downzone the property back to what it was. But that would be on each individual case. That has been done on different types of districts. Like I said, we did away with a lot of commercial districts. We did away with a lot of general residential districts for lack of development activities.
Right.
The commercial districts and some of the general residential districts were really instigated by the Department of Agriculture and the Agriculture Lands Preservation Foundation for the purpose to purchase development rights. Mm-hmm. And it had to be AR. That's why a lot of that took place.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lane.
Sir.
Wasn't that land converted back to agriculture through the consent of the owner?
Yes.
Well, the owner applied, and in that situation, we did not charge a fee for them to apply.
Downzoning.
Because they were downzoning for purpose. Mm-hmm. And their purpose was to dedicate the land to agriculture.
Yeah, I think if they had objected, I don't think we could have got that done.
Right.
Well, knowing how controversial casinos are in this county, somebody gets approval on a 15-acre parcel and then nothing happens. That's the one probably most people are going to be concerned about, because it could sit there vacant for 5 years, 10 years, who knows what, and then, you know, 20 years down the road where everybody's forgotten that the zoning's there, all of a sudden somebody realizes there's this gambling district and they do it like we did with the old GR districts and other districts. Is there a way to address that if nothing, if there's no development in a certain amount of time?
Well, again, you're sunsetting.
Right, it would sunset because of that. Not after, say it got developed, then it goes sour. I know the problematic part there, but if nothing happens, we ought to be able to address that.
If it's a zoning district, conditional use will be the only response. If there's zoning is in place, a rezoning takes place, it runs with the land.
I know that.
It doesn't run with the applicant. So
right.
That comes up a lot, too. If it's conditional use, you can put limitations on it.
I know.
They can be sunset for lack of development. The only zoning district that we have is that can be sunset is a residential planned community, because it's an overlay zone. It is not a zoning on its own merit. It's based on a district and then an overlay. That's the only one that we can sunset, and we have done that.
Okay.
Several
well,
times.
Make a note of it, and it's just maybe for something between now and the public hearing that we could share with us on a way to do it, because I think that. Again, if one gets approved in Sussex County, it's going to be very controversial, number one. But if they meet the standards and meet the requirements and they meet everything else, it's going to be difficult to say no, right? Because once we establish these zones. So we want to make sure that if we do establish a zone, that it just may not sit there, you know, for 20 years.
But it is rezoning, not conditional use. Is that correct?
Right, right. But I think you can. I think jurisdictions do address sunsetting of zoning districts.
Question.
Yes, sir. I'm not sure.
Procedurally, is the Board of Adjustments able to look at the setbacks, height requirements? Can they be modified through an application for a variance at the Board of Adjustments?
You mean as to this?
Yes.
So if they came in and they, with
it'd
the...
be 45 feet tall or 100 feet from us, a property line, can the Board of Adjustments make that adjustment?
According to the text of the code, it's an example in the next to the last page under section 115-83.14, references to additional regulations. The last one is Article 27, Board of Adjustment.
So
they can give it consideration.
So that's a yes?
Long answer. Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just need
Does
to
that
say
bother
why.
You?
So it could be adjusted.
I was curious.
Very
few casinos, not that I'm going to support it, are 42 feet tall. I mean, usually you picture a casino associated with a tall hotel.
Mm-hmm. What's Harrington? How tall is Harrington?
Yeah, there's a good example.
Harrington's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm. is it in the city limits of Harrington?
It must
yes.
be 30.
I think it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's within the city.
My
limits.
Mother's from Harrington, because I'm allowed to say that. So
I'm not sure what the height is of the.
What you were talking
the
about.
Existing Michelle. Racetrack building and shell out to the Route 9,
Herndon.
Just east of town.
Question.
That's substantial.
After
probably
13
over
years, 40. I should know this. Does any of this apply to what goes on within the municipal boundaries?
No.
Now, this would only be if it's an unincorporated area of Sussex.
So we have no ability, for instance, on the casino proposed down by the school to create a regulation that would require a school setback or a church setback or anything if it's in town. We
can do it.
Okay.
This is solely for if they took a piece of property that hasn't been annexed into any of the municipalities.
Like everything else,
yeah.
That's why they annex into towns.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why Herndon's so tall.
Yeah.
That could be included in the regulation. A greater setback from properties of a church school.
Yes.
Excellent.
Example, but not quite the best approval. Example, is the Board of Adjustment gives consideration to an off-premise sign that requires a public hearing, a billboard. Those billboards have to be 300 feet from another billboard, a church, a school, and a residence.
How about 5 miles from any church, school, or residence? Could we
You probably wouldn't have a. You wouldn't have a commercial gambling district.
I think they'd look at that as arbitrary and capricious, maybe, or something. I don't know, whatever. They'd come up with a term for that one.
So, and your first question, you could actually create another paragraph into this ordinance that gave more specific setbacks to other issues. Example, the church and school dwelling. It could be done. Or another gambling facility, even.
Anything else from council?
We'll make sure people know that we are not inviting casinos to the county.
Is there any support here to make some suggestions now before we introduce it, make some modifications again, or do we introduce it like this? And then, because if we try to make any major changes, we can't. We can make some minor changes, right? But we can't make major changes.
Well, I mean, you can take into account, you know, with the public hearings and what is in there. Like, if you did the setbacks, that's really, per se, not a major change, because we're dealing with all in the same title. Because
a lot of times I've been told we can't increase. It's easy to decrease numbers, but to increase the numbers from 150 feet after the public hearing, no.
Well, it's typically been that if you had 150 in the code and you wanted to go to 200, it's substantial.
Right.
If it's 100, it's not. Well, which one's less restricted? So you get that same question.
Yeah, we're allowed to go backwards. So anyway, asking the council, is there any, like talking about some of these things close to different unique facilities like a church or a school, possibly, versus other things? Anyway, is there any? Because once we introduce it, our hands are somewhat tied, right?
Well,
right.
I think we should look at that.
I don't hear anybody introducing it. I mean, so.
Yeah.
Is it something we want to be patient with?
I would say we need to be patient, and if you want to make comments to Lawrence to get back to Patrick.
Patrick. Okay. No, I think this is good. This is a good template to go from, and
we'll go from there. Yeah, okay. So we're going to give council more time to look at it, read it, review it, make comments to you guys, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
At this point, yes. I think that's best.
Old business. Blank again.
I'm here today.
Popular man. You're here for a while now.
Tonight, anyway.
And we have several, five items of old business. First being an ordinance to amend Chapter 150.